I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kind of in that in-between range. Like, they lose by 30, they're probably getting bumped out of the playoff. If they lose by 3, they're probably fine. What if it's in between? Do you lose by 2 scores? Are they feeling nervous at all? I still think they're probably okay, but that's, to me, when it gets kind of interesting.
I think you're right, because could that offer the opportunity for them to not have to solve the Miami-Notre Dame conundrum?
Exactly.
It feels like they're hoping for a situation, and granted, they'll never say this, but it seems to me like what they're hoping for is a situation where 2 spots open and they don't have to answer the question, or a spot where no spots open and they don't have to answer the question.
Yeah, I think that would be ideal for them. And then the other wild card, and this is probably a slim possibility, but you got Alabama 2 spots ahead of BYU. What if BYU plays Texas Tech incredibly close but loses a tight one? And Alabama gets beat kind of decisively by Georgia. Like, couldn't you make the argument that even if both teams lose, like, and BYU looks better, that they should climb and Alabama should fall a little bit? I don't think that's going to happen, because I don't think the committee is going to make the Big 12 a two-bid league unless they have to. With Texas Tech losing, then I think it becomes a two-bid league. But I have thought about that. Like, what if BYU is really tight? And you know, plays a really tight game with Texas Tech, but loses, and Alabama loses pretty decisively to Georgia. Does that create a path for BYU? Probably not, but it's another element of this.
Well, and then I think the other question that I had is, I know everyone was focused on Tuesday. They signaled that JMU's ahead of Duke because they could have ranked Duke, and they ranked JMU. They didn't rank Duke, and I felt like I was the only person going, well, what if JMU is 25 and Duke's 26? We don't know who that next team is. Because if I tell you that, I think most people think, okay, well, if Duke wins and JMU wins, JMU's getting the spot. But it's like, well, if Duke's 26 and beats number 17, whereas JMU beats a team that they're 24-point favorites against, that's going to be a better win, and that could propel them. But, like, we don't know that. And so I think that's kind of the other thing that I'm struggling with is, like, how realistic are we taking it that the ACC gets shut out if Duke wins?
I think it's realistic. I think, to your point, it's not automatic. But I think it definitely is realistic. I don't know that it's automatic.
To be clear, I'd be fine with, because they got 2 in last year, and 2 plus 0 equals 2 divided by 2, 1. You're a one-bid league. We're even. Moving on.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think they should have got SMU last year. I understand why they took them.
Same.
I disagree with that pick. But it's like, whatever. You got your way last year. This year, sorry you haven't.
It's time for your brothers and sisters to get their way.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm sorry. You lose to UConn and you lose to Illinois by 26 points. I mean, those were not terrible teams, but then you had 3 more losses in there, and you got a loss to UConn and a 26-point loss to Illinois. You're not a playoff team. I'm sorry, you're not. But the other factor is, I mean, you mentioned, we don't know, for all we know, Duke could be 26, but I would add on to that and say, also, don't forget, the committee can do whatever the heck they want. from week to week.
Sure.
They just flipped Alabama and Notre Dame for absolutely no reason and then made up some lie as to why they did it. So let's not discount that possibility either of if they want to have Duke and not James Madison, well, they could just pick Duke and they'll just come up with some lie as to why they did so.
I was kind of like thinking, it's like, part of this also, you can sit there and go, hey, the ACC, you did this to yourselves. In the end, if Miami were in this game, nobody's barking, nobody's crying, nobody's complaining. But, like, I don't think they could have made that decision last Saturday, because then I think you're inviting way too much the conspiratorial angle. But it's like, you could have made this decision at the beginning of October. Nobody would have cared. And you said, this is how we're going. In the event of a multi-team tiebreaker, we're going to go with the team that is highest ranked in the playoff standings. Like, no one would have batted an eye at that. But then the other aspect of like all of this is, I do wonder, what are going to be the knee jerk reactions from this that are going to cause changes? Like, if they get two G6s in, does that mean we're expanding next year? If we get two G6s in, does that mean we rewrite the rules that?
The Bama one is the big one. If Bama loses, it gets...
Yeah, it's like, what are you thinking? Like, what are the unintended consequences of whoever the 12 teams they pick? What are you watching for?
Yeah, I think all of the above. I mean, if 8-5 Duke gets in and not 10-2 Vanderbilt, I think that's an argument that can be used for 16. If two G5s get in, I think that's... Like, there's a lot of fodder out there right now to go to 16 if they... If you need fodder for it, it's out there. I mean, the whole idea of if you go 10-2 from a conference like the SEC, you're in, right? Well, that didn't work for Vanderbilt. And if it was any team other than Vanderbilt from the SEC, if this was happening to Alabama or Georgia, which we know it wouldn't, if they had a different name on their jersey, it wouldn't be happening to them. But if it was, I mean, they'd change the rules of the playoff immediately. You wouldn't need an executive order from Donald Trump like Diego Pavia wants. Which would achieve nothing. I mean, they just changed the rules on the spot if it was someone other than Vanderbilt getting left out. So, I do think there's probably some potential for some consequences of all this, which I think is kind of a shame. I mean, I don't hate the idea of a 16-team playoff, but I'm like, I don't know that we need to change the rules just because 9-3 Texas got left out or just because 10-2 Vanderbilt got left out. And don't get me wrong, I think those teams have arguments to be in.
Like, would I much rather watch Vandy with Diego Pavia play than JMU? Yes. Would I much rather watch Diego than Tulane? Yes, but, like, tough.
Tough. Yeah, tough.
Like, to me, like, it elevates the playoff. It makes the playoff, like, more special. Like, part of the reason why I like 12 and think it rocks is – it feels like if you make it in here,
it's still exclusive.
Like that is, yeah, like that was a heck of a good season.
It was. And if we're being real about this, none of us think that Vanderbilt has a shot to win the national championship, even if they got in as like the 11th seed. We wouldn't think they could win the whole kit and caboodle. It's just like we feel for them a little bit because they had a heck of a season. They got a wildly entertaining quarterback, and it's like, ah, man, that kind of stinks. But I don't know that we have to change. I don't know that we have to add four teams to the playoff. Just because Vanderbilt didn't get in, they had this special season. Like, Vanderbilt, to me, 3 years ago, would have made a heck of a lot of sense for, like, the Citrus Bowl or whatever, you know, something like that. And now we got a bigger playoff, but, like, to me, it's kind of a Citrus Bowl team. They had a great season. Now they can go to whatever the best bowl game is that's not part of the playoff and try to win that game. I don't know. Like, yeah, it's not – Vanderbilt not getting in or Texas not getting in, I think they have a case, and I wouldn't mind seeing them in the playoff. But, I mean, you know, that in and of itself is not a reason for me to go to 16. It's like you said, like 12 to me still is kind of the perfect number. It preserves some stakes to the season. The biggest issue I would have, if 8-5 Duke gets in.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I mean, I hate to be knee-jerk because I've really liked this playoff format. I really do. I don't have a problem with 16, depending on what the format is, but I'd rather just stay at 12.
You know what though? Here's gonna be my spin zone for it. If Duke actually gets in, it's Brett McMurphy once had a good line on our show. The problem with the BCS wasn't the BCS and the BCS formula. It was the problem that was they picked two teams. The problem is not going to be the 12-team playoff if Duke gets in. The problem is the ACC. they allowed right. that a 8-5 or whatever, 7-5 team, they allowed for the scenario where that team gets to play for the conference championship. That's not our fault. That's not the playoffs' fault. That's their fault.
Right. And so what do you do with that? I don't know. Maybe you don't do anything with it. Maybe the ACC is just the adult in the room and says, we don't have to be forced to change our rules. We've looked at how stupid this is. We're just going to take some initiative and change the rules so something like this doesn't happen again. And now I guess I could see the argument for, hey, conference standings are they shouldn't include non-conference results. I get that, but boy, an 8-5 Duke team getting in the playoffs, that it's just gonna water down the field so much. And but whatever. I mean, that's also what you get when you have a 17-team conference. And
yep.
You only play
eight games.
Eight conference games. They literally played less than half their conference. Like, I heard from a reader this week saying, like, why do you have such a problem with Duke getting in when there's a 6-6 team in the NFL? I forget who it is. Is it the Browns? Some 6-6 teams leading their division in the NFL.
It's the Ravens and the Steelers are tied.
Yeah, okay, that's what it is.
You're in the right division.
Yeah, sorry. I don't follow the NFL closely until it gets to postseason. I'm all focused on college ball. But, yeah, I knew there was somebody that was 6-6, but I was like, but they play everybody in their division twice.
Right.
So
there is a thing called a balanced schedule.
Yeah, so even though, yes, it looks funny if a mediocre team gets to the playoff, at least they played everybody in the division twice. Duke can get in without playing half the teams in its conference. Like, that's stupid.
It just feels like when we were sitting there and going, the result of Syracuse-Boston College, which legitimately on Saturday had an argument for the least consequential, the game that you should have had the least amount of motivation to watch. Mm-hmm. The fact that that result of that game actually mattered in the ACC standings, it's like, that's your problem.
It is their problem. And also, what a beautiful way to describe college football. That the Syracuse-Boston College game, two bad teams,
god awful teams.
Had playoff implications. There were playoff implications on that game.
Hey, it just means more.
Yeah, that's college football in a nutshell right there. Whether you love it or hate it or whatever, that's college football. Everybody that just insists on saying, well, in the NFL, it's like, they both play football. There's an oblong object in the middle of it all. But other than that, these are not the same sport.
No. No, they aren't. All right, buddy, safe travels.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Blake Topmeyer, senior national college football columnist for the USA Today Sports Network. Let's take a quick break. We come back, we'll get into the list, also get into our games of the weekend. Stick around, Anderson, Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Whether you're celebrating one of life's biggest milestones, like an engagement, or simply trying to make the holidays unforgettable, Robert Irwin Jewelers has the perfect gift for your loved ones. Add some sparkle to the holidays with our good friends over at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Some of the top picks during this part of the season, the Diamond Tennis Bracelets. Make sure you check them out. They're one of the hottest gift items of the season. You can get a stunning 3-carat lab-grown diamond tennis bracelet for just $11.99. Hurry on in because it's for a limited time only while supplies last. Also, you get that tennis bracelet, you also get a free pair of matching diamond stud earrings. They also have diamond necklaces available. You can dazzle her, and her diamonds will light up the room with a 10-carat lab-grown diamond tennis necklace. Brilliant, timeless, and sparkling end-to-end. And it's priced to impress at only $39.99. Of course, the holidays is also a big engagement season. Go check out their fine selection of engagement rings over at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Or you can do what I did for my wife, which is custom make your own engagement ring in which she can wear a ring that has never been worn before. You can shop now and get 12 months interest-free financing, or you can take up to 60 months to pay at a low APR. Also, Robert Irwin Jewelers is going to be open on Sundays now through Christmas, and you can shop at any of their 5 locations or online at rijewelers.com. Bigger body diamonds, better prices, all at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Let's get in the list. The Georgia Bulldogs. Mm-hmm. All right, DeMichael spotted this story during the commercial break. This is from Dan Murphy over at ESPN. Georgia's athletic department is headed to court to try to obtain $390,000 in damages from a former standout defensive end who transferred from the school after his sophomore season in a potentially precedent-setting case. The Bulldogs have asked a judge to force former defensive end Damon Wilson, currently the top pass rusher on Missouri's defensive line, to enter into arbitration to settle a clause in his former contract that serves effectively as a buyout fee for exiting his deal early. Wilson played for Georgia as a freshman and sophomore before transferring to Missouri in January, 2 weeks after signing a new deal with Georgia's Classic City Collective. Many schools and collectives have stated have started to include, quote, liquidated damages, end quote, clauses into their contracts with athletes to protect their investment in players and deter transfers. Georgia is one of the first programs to publicly try to enforce the clause by filing suit against a player. Whew. Quote, when the University of Georgia Athletic Association enters binding agreements with student athletes, we honor our commitments and expect student athletes to do the same, athletic spokesman Steve Drummond said in a statement to ESPN on Friday. Multiple attempts to reach Wilson for comment through family members Friday were unsuccessful. Wilson was served last week in Missouri with a summons to appear in court, according to legal documents. The Bulldogs paid Wilson a total of $30,000 from the disputed contract. Because of the way the deal was crafted, Georgia says Wilson owed it $390,000 in a lump sum within 30 days of his decision to leave the team. Drummond declined to comment when asked why the damages are being sought are much higher than the amount Wilson paid. Wilson signed a term sheet with the Classic City Collective in December of 24, shortly before Georgia lost in the quarterfinal playoff game to Notre Dame to end his sophomore season. The 14-month contract, which was attached to Georgia's legal filing, was worth $500,000 to be distributed in monthly payments of $30,000 with two additional $40,000 bonus payments that would be paid shortly after the NCAA transfer portal windows closed. The deal states that if Wilson withdrew from Georgia or entered the transfer portal, he would owe the collective a lump sum payment equal to the rest of the money he had received had he stayed for the length of the contract. Who the hell? Man. Did this kid have anyone reading this for him? Now,
that's what I was thinking.
We'll get into that. We'll get into it. The two bonus payments apparently were not included in the damages calculation. Classic City signed over the rights to those damages to Georgia's athletic department July 1st when many schools took over player payments from their collectives. Georgia's filing claims Wilson received the first $30,000 payment on December the 24th, Merry Christmas. Less than 2 weeks later, he declared his plans to transfer. Legal experts say Georgia's attorneys will have to convince an arbitrator that $390,000 in damages is a reasonable assessment of the harm the athletic department suffered due to Wilson's departure. Best of luck. Liquidated damages are not legally allowed to be used as punishment or primarily as an incentive to keep someone from breaking the contract. All right, okay, so there's a couple of things here. All right, number one, this is the first question that I have, and I would ask Georgia, why are you doing this?
Yeah, there's some risk here, right?
Now,
you think so?
So, I wonder if they're trying. I find it hard to believe that anyone that said "let's sue" is upset about losing the $30,000.
Yeah, yeah.
But I can see where they go.
This was going to happen at some point.
We need to have the written, like, this is the one that's documented the way that we need it, because what we want to actually achieve is, we want there to be a penalty for transferring.
For transferring, yeah.
And because it's, I find it hard to believe that they're stewing over this $30,000.
No.
But what they want to do is create the actual, like, you know, the Supreme Court ruling, or if you will, you know, like, Brown versus Board of Education. Uh-huh. Like, they want to create the case where it's like, this is what state, like, if sets you, the law.
It's the cornerstone. It's the precedent being set.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Because if there's any other explanation, why?
That's got to be it. It's got to be simply because of the fact that I've thought for years that this was eventually going to happen at some point, because with the freedom of movement that players at the collegiate level have right now, and you hear coaches, you know, side-eye it from time to time and they talk about it, and then as we've continue to learn the language that's in these, you know, contracts or NIL agreements or whatever you want to call them, like, it was only a matter of time. I didn't expect it to be Georgia, you know, but it was only a matter of time.
All right,
before this happened.
So now let's let's put on our discussion caps. Y'all ready?
What you got?
Would y'all not agree with me? Georgia would probably be one of the teams that would benefit the most if we went back to a more controlled environment. Because while Georgia has plenty of money in that state,
they have a very talent-rich state.
But we're not talking about the Ohio States, the Michigans, the USCs, the Texases. Mm-hmm. They don't have that kind of money. Mm-hmm. Do they have more money than Ole Miss, Mississippi State? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wonder, though, if this is like the attempt to... I think there's a lot of schools that would really like to go back to the way that it was. I think the Alabama Crimson Tide would really like to go back to the way that it was.
Yeah, because Saban would still be coaching.
I definitely think Kirby would like to see it go back to the way that it was. Mm-hmm. Now, where I give Kirby credit, he didn't just take his ball and go home. He has adapted.
Yeah.
You know. But I do know Kirby was very upset when they lost the defensive lineman to Texas, and he thought that was money. Mm-hmm. I wonder if this is Georgia trying to... Like, I wonder if it's coincidental that this story comes out
after
the
Jared
day...
Curtis.
Well, the
and,
day
and
after...
the receiver.
Well, no, I was thinking the day after we learned that the SCORAC's dead at Congress.
Oh!
And because... Yeah. And let me tell everybody, here's the basic reason why that's important. You don't have to know what the SCORAC is, but essentially the SCORAC was the NCAA school's congressional attempt to try and get things under control. Mm-hmm. Congress said no. And it's dead. So now, they've lost in the courts.
Yeah.
They've now lost on Capitol Hill.
I just got to go straight at guys.
So now we're coming to the point where the only option that's left is you're going to have to collectively bargain. And let me tell you what, that's going to take 10 years before people get there.
Minimum.
Like, we're...
A good CBA?
So,
A solid one?
I also think it's stupid because let me tell you what.
It's so hard to do that at the collegiate level.
Well, they should just do it because let me tell you why. Think about how much power the NFLPA has.
Yeah.
That's 32 teams, and that players' union gets raked over the coals each and every labor dispute. Why? Getting everybody to agree, especially when it's a 53-man roster and... The average length of a career is what, 3.5 years?
About four seasons.
So, Aaron Rodgers' motivations are not going to line up with 53rd man's motivations, but there's a lot more 53 mans.
Yeah,
45 through 53 on the roster, and their vote counts the same. So, if I'm these universities, I would sit there and go, let's do this because it is going to be a very weak players' union. And you're going to get a much more favorable ruling than whatever you've been doing, which is getting your ass kicked either in court or not getting legislation, which you spent millions trying to get. Mm. Nice job, guys.
Man, yeah, I think you're on the mark. You're onto something. I definitely think you're onto something with that. This is, you know, like the story said, this is a precedent-setting move, right? And I don't think an attempt. Yeah, it's an attempt. I mean, trying to turn 30,000 into 390 is
that doesn't math.
Yeah, the math ain't mathing.
That math is not mathing. But I also wonder something that I'm curious about with this. I wonder how many of these NIL or collective contracts are written in a similar way.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
or is this kind of an outlier?
I don't think so. I think those transfer clauses are probably in.
Well, what
most
I think,
of these at this
what
point.
I think it the reason
but they're not enforceable.
With my completely uninformed speculation, for those that, but that's what we do on this program.
Oh yeah.
The reason why they picked this number one, I'm also guessing. I bet he was not super popular in the locker room, because to DeMichael's point, if you're Georgia, I don't think they're going to stop recruiting players.
No.
So,
come on.
If you're sitting there and you're on Georgia's roster and you see them do that, and this is like one of your boys, you're probably not super happy.
Yeah.
But if you sit there and you're like, F that guy, you probably don't care as much, and you're probably not that interested in like what's actually happening. The other thing that it also suggests to me is, even though maybe the case is flimsy, this is the one that they have laid out in the manner that they want to see enforced. he agreed to these terms. He agreed with this language,
yep.
this money. Like, it feels like this is like a standard contract.
Right, like that paper trail is a clean. Lot more enforceable.
Everything's clean on this one.
Right.
He did this. He broke this. Therefore, this should happen.
It's easier to litigate.
Correct.
Yeah.
And it's like laid out in the fashion that they want. Because I find it hard to believe they're really broken up about the $30,000 because they're clearly going to spend more money trying to litigate this than they are that $30,000. What they probably don't even care about getting the money back.
No.
What they care about is getting the precedent set.
Mm-hmm. And he turned out to be a really good player. I think that's part of it too.
I'm betting Damon Wilson wins.
Yeah. It's hard to make that case for you, no one's throwing a pity party for the University of Georgia. Like,
I mean, where we have seen the schools win a little bit has only been in terms of eligibility and your clock.
Yeah.
The courts have still gone along with the idea of eligibility is not a non-compete. Whereas they say, you know, freedom of movement is a non-compete, like restricting movement, not paying, that's a non-compete. But what they have said is, in your structure, this rule makes sense. You have this amount of time to play that much time.
Yeah. This is a whole different ballgame. Right,
this feels like no chance.
Yeah, I'm with you.
In the end, like, they were trying to restrict his ability to make money somewhere else. That is a non-compete.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. Games of the weekend. Got a full NFL slate. We got a number one versus number two game in college football. All that and more. Let's take a break and come back and rank our games of the weekend next on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, boys, we got a good NFL slate. We got championship Saturday. We got some really high-profile college basketball games.
We got a lot,
man. I guess, do we technically, are there still cup games?
No. The knockout stage will start next week,
but I thought there was still technically one game left, but are we not?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Everything's decided.
All right. Yep. So we got a full buffet. Mm-hmm. All right, George, your number five pick this weekend.
My number five pick, I'm going Colts at Jaguars. 2-8-4 teams fighting for that divisional title. Those are two teams that are playing, like, they're both playing kind of fine. They've both been very up and down.
Jacksonville has been winning in spite of Trevor.
Yeah.
I'm going to take up for my boy here.
And without Travis Hunter.
Like, what a strange circle of life this has been. Like, from the night the Giants drafted Daniel to me being like, I'm now his PR agent. Why is everyone acting like he's turned into a pumpkin? This is real Daniel Jones. He's playing with a broken leg.
He's got, like... And he also hasn't been that bad. If anyone else,
can you imagine if Lamar was doing this, we'd be literally like, we'd be like throwing parades. Like, somehow it's just like, it confirms our bias. Like,
yeah, that's all it is.
It's like,
we've been waiting on the regression.
Yeah, and it's like, I'll hang in there, like, divisional weekend again. But like, I just find myself like, being like, this guy's just gutting it out. Like, what's going on? But yes, I think that should be. I think that should be under consideration. All right, DeMichael, you're number five.
My number five is actually one versus two, Indiana, Ohio State, only because of the factor that it's you know, congratulations, you'll win a Big Ten championship. But other than that, I really want to see where Indiana stacks up against Ohio State. And like it's, I think it's going to be a really big game.
I'm putting it at number five, which is so sad. It's like one versus two.
We're in the same boat, right?
But it's exact. I think.
This is supposed to be number one.
Number one, I think the reason why I want to watch this is, can Ohio State have game pressure applied to them?
Yep.
Which we've not really seen. I do think we all agree Indiana's not a fraud, but I do think in the back of our mind, we still think Indiana's like closer to the middle of the pack than we do the top of the pack. Yep. And like, this is like going to be, okay, how do they stack up against them? Because it is funny how like they pretty much handled Oregon. And we're just kind of not, we don't really care. Mm-hmm. So there's that. And it also does feel like this decides the Heisman.
Yeah. I think you can make that case.
Although maybe.
Now if both look bad.
If they both look bad, is Diego.
He slots in there.
All right. Okay. So that's my number five. Georgia, number four.
That's my number four.
Okay.
for a lot of the same reasons. Like, mm-hmm. it very well could be a good game, but because both teams are also kind of locked in into that top four, it also could suck. It could be.
Let me tell you what. This could be a smushing. This could be a.
It could be.
This could be like 23-6.
I wouldn't be surprised, and that's why I got to play it safe with them.
Because I can also see if Ohio State thinks like we are in control of this game. What's the incentive for them to like hammer them?
And even if they blast Ohio State, it's going to be a fluke game.
Right.
Like, I don't think anyone's going to think Ohio State's a fraud unless it's just.
No, I agree.
So. Yeah,
it almost would feel like that's like were they trying to rig the standings a little bit? Like they like uh-huh. they wanted to set up like maybe they drop to the four so that like
a little metric
manipulation. Exactly. Like do they like you'd start like putting your thinking cap on.
It's not your classic 1-2 Titans versus Titans type game.
This doesn't feel like undefeated Florida and undefeated Alabama. The game
Tebow cried.
All right, you're number four.
I'm going NFL. I'm going with Houston, Kansas City. It's a good game. It's an important game. You know, some playoff implications potentially here, but it could be an ugly one. You guys know how I am about those ugly games. I don't know what the over under is yet. I'm already leaning towards the under. You want to guess? It's 41.
41.5. Because you got also it's Sunday night, so everybody wants to bet the under on Sunday nights. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that sounds about right.
All right, my number four is the SEC championship game, even though I don't – like, it's not like, oh, my God, I got to see Alabama and Georgia in the SEC championship game. Oh, this is fun. We've never seen this before. Mm-hmm. There's just something nostalgic. When they put that SEC logo in the middle of the field, one end zone's painted one team, one end zone's painted the other, half stadium. Like, I don't know. It just goes back to my youth. Like, I'm still nostalgic for it. And, like, there is an – like, in the back of my mind, it's like, can one of these teams show that this team is actually a contender? Because right now, in my mind, there's one national title contender. Mm-hmm. Maybe Indiana will be the second.
Yeah.
Maybe Georgia or Alabama can prove, like, hey, come playoff time, like this is when it matters. So I'm still putting the SEC championship game in. Georgia, number three.
I have that Texans and Chiefs game here. I really have enjoyed what, even without CJ Stroud, the Texans have been, like, solid in all three phases.
That
defense is so good.
I saw some numbers.
They're fast.
They rarely disguise, and they rarely
add a ton of extra rushers.
They don't blitz much, and they just say we're gonna line our guys up.
Hat on a hat.
We're just gonna destroy you. It's real like old school.
It is D'Amico Ryans mm-hmm. as a player mm-hmm. defined as a defense. It is just man to man. We're going
Wheels
to punch you
here,
in
the
mouth.
Neil Hunter's over here.
Good Lord, those two guys are fun to watch together.
I'm not making this up. And granted, he's still I think he got drafted what, fourth? But wasn't there Will Anderson draft, like in the draft, like weren't there people in like this guy's going to be overdrafted, whatnot. It's like,
I don't know, man. With him.
He looks the exact same like he did at Alabama, where it's like nobody really blocks him.
Wrecking everyone. Yeah.
He's incredible, man.
I was like, I don't think I'm making that. I remember back in that draft, like there being weird.
Wasn't it like a weird, like something about like his length or like his size or something like
there
that?
There was something like, about like the correlation between like his arm length and like players, like they were trying to compare him to like Isaiah Simmons. Like they were trying to call him a tweener. It's like,
nothing tweener about that dude.
I might be the only person that has this game at number three.
What's that?
Guys, I got Josh Allen and I got Joe Burrow playing a football game. Oh, it's as a lover of quarterback play, these are two of my guys.
Mm-hmm.
I know. Let me just say this. As much as I love Josh Allen, Burrow's going to cost me a lot of money from last Thursday night because I'm glad like my wife was falling asleep, but as the Bengals were hammering the Ravens, I was just like, this is going to be bad because I'm just going to keep betting the Bengals and this is just going to lead to just so many losses. Yeah. And I'm probably going to bet the Bengals on Sunday. That's where I am.
Their receivers are healthy now.
T's back?
Yeah.
And them boys got to get their yards.
And by the way, Joe wasn't even that good. He was rusty.
No, he was very rusty.
He was.
It's only going to get better.
I know.
It's only going
to
get better.
Even more opportunity for me to lose money.
I was going
to
say, just honestly, take the over. I mean, the Bills' defense is getting torn up with injuries. Their secondary still kind of stinks, and Darius Slay isn't even going to play.
Yeah,
he even joining the team?
No. He's like, Buffalo, I'll pass on that.
A little cold.
Yeah, you know what? Let me consider retirement.
Hold on.
A little cold.
With big play Slay, I relate to that.
Yeah.
Guys, it's like cold up
here. Yeah, that's a down south. That's a down south.
Yeah, that's a guy that's been for a dome.
Yeah.
All right, Georgia, number two.
I have the Chicago Bears on the road at Lambeau Field against the Green Bay Packers. A battle here of, what is this, a 9-3 and an 8-3-1 team for the top of the NFC North and the NFC in general. Is it fair to say both of these quarterbacks have been kind of eh?
No.
The last little while?
I have thought Jordan has looked great.
He's the reigning NFC Offensive Player of the Week. My guy's balling.
I don't know how to process, Caleb. I don't think as negative. I think we're still in that mold of so many people hate his personality that they
that it bleeds into what is his actual play.
And I want to be clear. I'm not saying him and Stafford have been the same. But it's like, this is what, his 20th start? Mm-hmm. Like, how many starts does he have under his belt? It's like,
it's because he has this relatively low completion percentage, and they're just going to try to run the ball.
Yeah, and like, I don't know.
He's looking more like a game manager, and no one thought
What's
that.
Wrong with that?
Because no one expected that from him. This isn't Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
He got the job. They expected him to be, you know, a guy who's going to throw for 350.
Yeah.
And he's not that right now.
Jordan right now is kind of finding it.
Oh, yeah. It's Toyota-thon, so.
It's Toyota-thon season.
I saw a Bears fan tweet, and they said, hey, they asked Gronk. They said, when does Toyota-thon end? Is it over?
We got Toyota-thon, but also, like, that throw to beat the Lions on third, was it fourth or third?
Fourth down.
They went for it. Yep. And then also, like, even the other drives where, like, he had to make a throw on third down, he made the throw. They dropped it.
He's the best third down guy in the league right now.
Now,
I mean, this season, statistically.
Where I will meet you halfway, George, I still don't know if I trust him. Like, when we get into a playoff game, like, I think right now, like, my eyes tell me he's playing well.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's always, like, I'll never forget those interceptions against the Niners. Where it's like, that might have been the worst throw I've ever seen.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I mean, ever. Yeah. I think part of like what makes this game even more interesting is the fact that the Bears' defense has been as solid as it's been, and the Bears have been really good on the road this year.
They're boom or bust, really. Like, I think they lead.
Yeah, it's like they
lead the NFL in turnovers, but they also give up like the most explosive plays in the passing game. Like I think even Nashawn Wright, the big 6'2" corner they got. He's giving up.
Aren't they getting healthier?
Oh yeah, Jalen Johnson.
Yeah,
Jalen Johnson's coming back.
The safety too.
What's his name?
The safety that they got, but. He's back too.
Why can't I think?
I also think Dennis Allen's a pretty good coach.
Dennis Allen's good.
I don't want him as my head coach, but if you tell me my team's hiring as a DC, I'm like, cool. Yeah.
He's one of those DC lifers.
And I know people love to make fun of him. I feel the same way about Eberflus.
Yeah. Yes.
If you told me
exactly
the Giants were Eberflus as a defensive coordinator, it's like, I didn't even make fun. Like, all the people that wanted to make fun of him when they were getting lit up, it's like, are you seeing who's playing for them?
Yeah.
Like, I was like, what's he supposed to do? And like, now.
It's the Spagnuolo, Vic Fangio. It's those guys.
100%. I think Vance Joseph might be in that category.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I don't know about – I'm willing to give Flores another shot. But, again, I wish
– those other guys have at least had, like,
I got a
longer kick.
A little spicy take for you.
You ready?
My guy Jeff Heffley might end up being one of those types.
Yeah.
You saw him at BC.
Now,
that wasn't overly impressive.
I wonder, though, if that's BC.
I mean, possibly, but
– I'm a little Heffley curious.
Are you?
Yeah. All right, Michael, you're number two.
Number two for me is I'm going college basketball.
All right.
I'm going Duke, Michigan State.
Jersey game.
I gotta go to this one because Michigan State is by far, to me, the most athletic, physical team that I've seen in college basketball this season. They've just beat up on everyone.
Yeah.
All the good teams, they've just bullied them. One player that you can watch in college basketball this season say is probably not going to get bullied by anyone is Cam Boosett. So this is the ultimate, like, if he's truly this prospect that a lot of people, and I admittedly, I'm not the highest on Cam Boozer.
Yeah.
So this is the game where if he dominates Michigan State, I'll take a couple steps back.
You're right, though. This is a great Duke soft test.
Mm-hmm. Oh, because you know they're going to get
it. Yeah.
Because
like,
Michigan State is
always in the back of your mind, it's like Shire. I always feel like Shire's teams are a little soft.
Yeah.
This is a game. They're going to get punched in the mouth.
They're going to get
you
punched.
You know. Oh, yeah.
All right. My number two is Green Bay, Chicago for all the reasons that we've mentioned. Mm-hmm. George, you're number one.
I've got to do it. It's a helmet game. It's the classic. It's the big one at the end of the year. I've got to go with the SEC championship game.
I don't have a problem with
it. It's a rematch game, I think. Yeah. Like, even with
the only complaint is it should be on CBS.
No, don't get me wrong.
That's the only problem with it.
I'm with you. That's like 100%.
Yeah. And bring back Vern.
I kind of want to see if Georgia is actually rolling, or do they still have the heebie-jeebies?
Or did the schedule maybe lighten?
Exactly.
Like, is there an out? DeMichael, you're number one.
You know what my number one is. It's Bears Packers. I mean, it's just.
I could put the Jets in there, but.
But look, check me out. Because.
The Giants are on a bye, thankfully.
Yeah, they are.
I don't have to watch this weekend.
I have not, like...
Killed my fantasy team.
This is different. I'm trash-talking Bears fans. I usually...
I respect
it.
Putting yourself out there. You want some skin in the game.
I don't even give them the attention, usually. They text me. I'm like, oh, we beat you 10 in a row. Hey, go talk to someone else. Now it's like I like this. Like, this is like 2009 over again. Like, this is Brian Urlacher and Lance Briggs. Versus the boys, like let's have some fun. It just feels more like the rivalry again. So I'm excited about that one.
All right, I understand y'all's concerns with Houston, Kansas City. I'm putting it number one because I don't know if Kansas City loses. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the path is. Mm-hmm. I think they're out, and to me that is fascinating.
Oh, it's definitely fascinating.
Because I'm also not the one that's saying, like, I believe even if Kansas City doesn't make the playoffs this year, it's like, all right, they'll be back.
They're at 6-6, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm. And this would be, they would have lost the tiebreaker to the Texans, to the Jags. They still get to play the Chargers again.
Right.
But, like, you start looking at the teams, the Bills would have the tiebreaker. Like, this would be another team that's in that pack with them. And
this
they would,
is where you really start questioning that Mahomes magic.
Right now, I kind of think what's happened is, I think the team might stink, and he makes them media. It's kind of the Romo. Even as a Giants fan, I always had great respect for Romo because I thought those teams sucked. Yeah. But I thought he brought them to 8-8.
Yeah,
I think that's kind of what's happening with Kansas City.
I think you can make that argument.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we tell your story next. Right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, boys. For today's Don't Tell This Story, tell your story. DeMichael's mentioned it. I think we just have to go with everything Richard Sherman says. Uh-huh. I would like to also point out, some of what Richard Sherman said, I agree with. It's just everything he says is just the ultimate, just tell your story. Like,
Michael Crabtree's a bum.
Michael Crabtree's a bum. Like, it's just, he's the Draymond Green of NFL. Like, if he was drafted by anyone other than who he was drafted by, we wouldn't know his name.
Ooh,
I stand by that. Oh, really? You took Adderall again? That's why you failed that PED test. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Disengaged, disappeared, unacceptable. Mm. All right, my man, have a good night tonight. Good luck covering the game.
All right, see you, Jeff.
That, of course, is DeMichael Cole. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for DeMichael, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. Gabe Kuhn Show's coming up next.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Airo. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Airo uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Airo. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.